Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Can everyone hear me?
Hopefully they can. Hopefully the folks that are there can hear us, because I guess the Mixler thing is a little new and possibly a little confusing. So hopefully people can find us and hear us.
Okay. All right. Let's do that.
Sorry.
Okay. Excellent. Hi, Brenda. Hi, Carla. Hi, Torty Prism. Manny Man is there, and I know Helga's there, and Malini's there, and Caleb is there, and let's see, and I think Alir is there, so hi, everyone.
Sweet as Mandy's there.
And Mandy's there, excellent. So, yes, welcome to the new setup for Mixler.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah, so... it is different. it is confusing, but we're gonna work through this. So, yeah, just hang in there. They didn't clear it with me. They just kind of did it. So it's kind of like Facebook, you know.
Mm.
So anyhow, let's start the show. Welcome everyone to a live, raw, and real Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And Sean Dreadley is here. Hey, Sean, what's happening? My name is Jeff Roni, and I am joined by the lovely, the knitting while I talk.
Colleen Roni.
Yes.
I thought you were waiting. I thought you were going to announce, you know, wife, partner.
My wife. Co-host.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know you were waiting for me to say my name. That's why I did.
Yes. So Marlene is here. Hi, Marlene. And I believe Nani's here with us. Hey.
And somebody else? Anybody else? I can't see, unfortunately.
Okay.
But hey to everybody who is there.
Yep, Blondie for Keeps is there. Hello.
That's a name.
Hey.
Hey, and hey to those who are not necessarily logged into the chat room who might be listening too.
Yep. So I understand that my mom will try to join tonight. So
yay, Mom.
Mom, if you're listening... and you cannot chat, email me, will you?
we'll try and do what we can
to get you hooked up. So
yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of new and exciting. You know, Mom enjoying what the kids are doing. We have a number of emails, and I wondered if there was anything to kind of start with. Next weekend, we are going to be... at the, oh, hi, Liz.
Next
What's happening?
Hey.
Liz is in the chat room as well.
Wait, before you run into any announcements of any kind, first of all, I see that we had a post saying that they can hear, but for some reason they can't chat beyond one message. I'm not sure what would cause that.
I just thought I'd share that out there. If someone can do me a favor and tweet... to Mixler, and that's M-I-X-L-R.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could do @MIXLR, and let's tell them what we are experiencing and ask them if there is a
help.
Yes. So help. Let's do that if you don't mind. Ah, this is a wild show already. So, yeah.
It's going to be wild. Okay, so next Saturday happens to be St. Patrick's Day. Is that what you were
going
to say?
No. We're going to the WonderCon.
Yes, that's next Sunday.
Yes, and we're going to be seeing another episode a little bit early, and we're going to see Ed Kitsis and Adam Horowitz again.
Eddie Kitsis.
That name. Yes.
I don't think we're quite ready to call him Ed.
Well, okay.
We're not exactly. Edward. It's Eddie. I know he goes by Eddie, but he's okay with that. I just don't think Ed's quite there.
I haven't had lunch with him yet, so.
No.
Anyway.
No.
And Hardy E is in the chat room. Hey, what's happening? This is great.
Yeah.
And my voice is even cracking, so that's even better.
I know. And this I've got this little.
Wild, this is a wild show. This is. And this is going to be the one that ABC reviews. So they're listening now. And they're going, the guy is weird. So.
The girl's knitting. What's up with that?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, next weekend is going to be a big weekend. And we're still putting things together for the meetup. On September 15th and 16th.
Yes.
And that's going to be really cool.
Yes.
And so.
So, yeah, if you are able to make it, we would love to have you. And if you are, if you could let us know, we want to kind of plan for some stuff.
Yes. Let's read our first email. Let's do that first.
Let's do that.
Because you never quite know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
On these. Yes, Kaylee out there. So, Mom, if you're listening, hi.
Oh, wait, Kaylee is there, I think, because she said she sent me a text message or post on Twitter saying she's trying to use the Mixlr IM and it won't let her post.
Okay.
So if you go into Twitter and do @Mixlr and tweet to them, they should see that if you're not able to use the IM.
Yeah, I'll be watching Twitter too until we can kind of get this.
I mean, are
get
you
this kind of figured
I
out.
Think maybe Kaylee is trying to IM somebody else, maybe in the chat room.
Okay.
Maybe. But if you are, you may want to switch over to DMs on Twitter for right now. Unfortunately, Mixlr, yeah. I'm not familiar enough with it to be able to say what to do. But okay. I hope that I can, by next week, I will have an ability to actually be in the chat room myself.
Yep. So anyhow, we're going to read our first email. And this is from Miriam. And this is really cool. So let's go ahead and read it. It's, hey, Jeff and Colleen, yet another great episode. Nice and fluffy one that nonetheless raises some interesting questions and conjures a few very disturbing mental images. A giant dwarf termite queen laying eggs that watcher dwarfs carry off to the hatching chamber is one. When Bossy summed up a dwarf's existence is another. Happy hatch day. Here's your axe. This is the mine. You're going to dig from the day you're hatched till the day you die. And you are going to love every minute of it. You just know that Grumpy is going to lead the dwarf revolution, sprinkle all the dwarfs with fairy dust, rise of the Planet of the Apes style. I want to stop right there. That is a brilliant thought. Actually,
it's interesting, and it does conjure up some crazy images with a termite dwarf queen hatching laying eggs.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the first thing I thought of was alien.
Yeah.
You know, and the other idea was the whole Jedi clone.
Yes,
we talked about that in the last show.
Yeah, we did.
But the whole dwarf revolution is very interesting. Because I don't think, you know, it's interesting that Dreamy made it out, but he really didn't make it out, you know, because he came back.
Not yet.
Right. So I just think it's interesting that you have a pretty determined dwarf, you know, and the possibility that they could make it out.
That's true.
I think it's at least something to think about.
Totally. Because, we don't know. This is just the beginning.
Is Ken there? Ken had mentioned that he was going to join, so he may be in the chat room.
Yeah, he may be
Welcome,
listening.
Welcome, Ken. Welcome, sir. This is great. So yeah, I just think it was interesting that she brought that up. So,
I totally agree.
You might know this, but in the Middle Ages, coal mines primarily employed children. Their small size meant smaller and subsequently cheaper tunnels. And they were hunched from working all day in those tunnels. And the bright caps they wore, like reflector vests that worked, the crews work today. They were called the Dark Ages for a reason. Yep. It was interesting to see that both dwarves and fairies do not really live. They're either too far above or too far below the surface. Do you think that the reason Nova wants to be a fairy godmother so badly is because she wants to be involved with people's lives? And that's a great point.
Yeah, because you know what? Yeah, that would give her an opportunity, because she did say that, you know, she's flown above, you know, the world, but she hasn't really been in it really. So yeah, that makes sense. That's a great idea.
She goes on here. Here's something interesting. We find this week that fairy magic is powered by diamond dust from the mine. We know that from before the mine is We know from before that the mine is located in Prince Charming's kingdom, episode 4, Price of Gold, and episode 10, 715. We also know that there is a special relationship between the fairy godmother and King George's family. Mm-hmm. Do you think that those things are connected? And if they are, then why doesn't King George go to the fairies when the wife could not conceive? That's very interesting.
Ooh, wow. That's a question I hadn't thought about. Yeah, maybe they don't have that kind of power, though. Do you know what I mean?
It's still, yeah, I mean, possibly. Don't know. Oh, the poor folks are still having trouble, looks like, in the chat room. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Well, and here's the thing is make sure they are set up in they're in the lines setting. If you're in the lines setting, that's what I'm being told. You should have an easier time of it. I don't know how to get to that point. So okay. Sorry, that's all I know.
So where do the dwarves live? Is it the same place they took Snow White to? They couldn't be still working in the mine. They just broke Grumpy out of jail. So that's another interesting point. It seems like there's a lot of things going on in that area. The mines, Rumpelstiltskin's cell, probably the other cells. There's probably tunnels that connect underground.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So
that's very true.
I'm not going to say much about the storybook side, except that Leroy is awesome. Granny is forgiven, and I'm just going to assume for my own peace of mind that Emma knows that Sydney is lying. Nani brought up an interesting question. Why did Leroy and Mary Margaret not get arrested for destruction of private property? You know, we've talked about it before. Certain people do certain things and they just get away with it.
They do.
Not a big deal.
But you know what's funny is that okay, so when he blew up the transformer, nobody looked up. So, like, I don't think they even know who did it. Because he kind of alluded to that without saying anything when he talked to Aster, and that's probably why.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just what I'm thinking. I could be totally wrong.
That's what Torty Prism said here. No one saw them.
Yeah.
That's more than likely true, because they're kind of focused on the Ringtoss booth with Jeffrey Kaiser.
They were indeed.
I mean, that was a hopping booth.
That was, man.
Sydney came and Emma was there.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyhow, okay. All right.
I'm seeing a few posts that people are having trouble with the chatting and with the streaming and whatever. So yep. I'm saying bottom left lines, it chat stream. So if you go to the bottom left of the screen, I guess there's chat lines. And if you click on that something down there, it will allow you to stream. If that makes any sense.
Chat stream.
Yeah. Mean. So like there's a chat stream. Okay. It's the bottom left. It's the lines. It says there's like a, you know, it's four little lines. And it looks like if you click on that, that's the chat stream.
Yeah. This is almost a test live podcast tonight. But
and if you click on that, I guess if you activate the bottom left where the four little lines are, and it might have a number, so to speak, with it. If you see that on the bottom left, then that should set it up for you and get it going where you can chat. And
yeah, please don't review my show based on Mixlr.
Yeah,
and,
please.
And post it in someplace. Please. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. So it says, it continues on. So glad that we're getting the little red story this week. Her screen time to backstory ratio was getting ridiculously lopsided. And I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
So, hope you're feeling better, Mariam. Well, I was feeling better until Mixlr fixed their thing.
Well, I think because of the change on the page, now if you find that little icon that's a little button of sorts that has four little lines on it, that's the chat stream. Click on that. That should activate the chat. Hopefully that helps.
In the time zone. There's big problems. Anyway. So she brought up... So she brought up Red. So let's go ahead and we're going to play the fantastic interview. Or I'm sorry, the fantastic voicemail that Megan left. So here's what I'd like you to do. First of all, forgive my throat. I keep clearing my throat.
Yeah, we keep doing that.
And
anyway.
But I'm going to play this voicemail. Now, here's what I would like to start is when... We are blessed and have the great opportunity to get voicemails from these awesome cast members.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like you to do is get on Twitter, and I want you to send a tweet right at that moment that you hear it and thank them. Okay? So I want to start that tonight. So if you could do this, just get Twitter ready and type in her name. It's at... Megan R. Ori. I'm going to play it, and I want you to type in your message. Thanks so much for calling into the podcast and leaving your voicemail.
The OUAT podcast.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we get that that name right.
Okay. So yeah, thanks for leaving a voicemail at OUAT podcast. So here we go. Ready? I'm ready.
I'm ready too.
Hey, it's Megan Ori calling. I just wanted to say, guys, there's only a few more days till Red Handed, and I hope you're excited, because I sure am. Can't wait to see what you guys think and hear your thoughts. Have fun watching. Bye.
Okay.
Yay, thanks, Megan.
Thanks so much, Megan. Excellent, excellent. So we're sending our thanks right now.
We are indeed.
That was so great for her to do that for us. So, because we want to support her and her episode. And it's true. You know, we've seen a lot of little things here and there, but we have not seen the backstory. And even the little things that we've seen, it just kind of glimpses in the sneak peeks or things that we've heard about is just really a lot more different than I thought. So, it's really cool. So, thanks, guys. Again, sorry about Mixlr. We'll get it figured out at some point. This next email.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
All right. So this is from Shannon. Shannon is in the chat room, I believe. So here we go. Hey, Jeff and Colleen. I came across these pictures from PaleyFest and would like to forward them over if you'd like. I didn't know if maybe you could use them for the website. Add them to the blog, etc. In addition to these pictures, I have more I will share with you guys. Encounter with Josh and I find it funny that last week's live podcast, she said, I could round the corner and bump into Josh Dallas. And she said, well, that's sort of what happened here. I took the Charmer's t-shirt with me that Julianne made, and it caught his attention. And he walked over and shook my hand. He appeared very excited that I had it with me. And then, of course, he was more willing to let this charmer take a picture with him. So you also mentioned Thursday night's show about talents. And she goes into that. So she's got some great pictures here.
Awesome.
And I will post them because she said I could.
Yay. thanks,
Shannon. That is fantastic.
We were we missed Shannon at the thing. We kind of crossed paths, I guess, and we were looking for her. We didn't see her. We were kind of sad that we didn't get a chance to see her. But you know what? I think we're probably going to get another opportunity.
I have a feeling.
You know.
I have a feeling. So, you know, once they seem to find each other and...
We do indeed.
So, really cool. Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Yes.
So, here is our next email here.
Yes.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. While rewatching Dreamy, I saw something interesting. When Nova showed Dreamy the lights of the village and the kingdoms, I noticed that it looks similar as the scene Disney shows in the introduction of every one of their movies. And she attaches screen caps. It's a big homage to Disney and shows the layout of the kingdoms. Maybe it's a foreshadowing saying they plan to do more fairy tales Disney did in the future. Or that Disney did in the future. Mm-hmm. I really hope that this is true because, as you can tell, I love Disney. I'm Andy. And I wanted to thank you for all your time and hard work both of you put into everything. And you guys make Once Upon a Time that much more enjoyable. And thank you very much, Mandy. I appreciate
that.
Thank
you.
But
and it was a good point that you brought up because that when they were standing on that hill overlooking, it did look so much like once I heard that or saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, it does look like the opening to most Disney movies. It's really cool.
And I do think there's a lot of tie-ins with different things, and I think. Mm-hmm. You know, most everyone kind of starts their fairy tale treks with Disney, you know, I think.
Yes.
So I totally see why that they would do that.
It's highly unusual. Yeah, I would say so, because, I mean, I grew up on Disney and most everybody I talk to has grown up watching Disney movies.
And I did get a screen cap of the high version, and it may have been similar to what Mandy was talking about, but it was right at the beginning when Nova bumped her fairy dust and it started to fall down, and I got a screen capture of the kingdoms. So mm-hmm. And I didn't see anything that kind of jumped out at me, but it is kind of the first like map that we have now, because it looks like we see Snow White's kingdom, mm-hmm. and then there's the river, and there's a large hill, and it goes around the other side. So, anyway, that was pretty cool to see. So hopefully we'll get kind of more of those types of shots so we can start to put it together. So this is from Jonathan in Birmingham. Hey, Jonathan. Dear guys, I watched that episode many times, and honestly, I didn't think of those references to Tron with the video game or when Arthur was talking about the water. What's even more funny or messed up, depending on how you look at it, but I'm a child of the 80s, and even though I was three when Tron came out and I watched it, and I had just finished an 80s marathon of movies with Tron being watched many times during the marathon, with Tron Legacy, I didn't catch those references, but you know, hey, sometimes things just, you know, you look and you go, wait a minute, is that so? Yeah. Don't feel bad at all.
I was saying, don't feel bad at all because I didn't catch them either. But then I was a teenager in the 80s and I was never into Tron back then. So
that's shocking.
I know. But
you not into Tron?
No.
What?
I know. But, excuse me, my Wookiee just growled. I hate that.
We're batting 1,000 tonight.
I know. But, no, I
sorry,
wasn't
ABC.
Tron, so I was just like, oh, okay, it didn't dawn on me. And then when somebody pointed out, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about now. Anyway.
Yep.
So don't feel bad.
Okay. So I did want to talk about one thing that I really noticed this week is I'm not sure who did it. I am overjoyed that I have not seen as much interaction, as much Twitter interaction, as much photos from the sets as I have with Once Upon a Time ever in my mm-hmm. life.
Yeah.
And it's the coolest thing in the world. So, you know, it's really neat. You know, Megan's been tweeting. Granny's now on. Jared's following me now. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen more cooler shots. there was a picture. I mean, look, I love Denny's and all, but I mean, it must have been something to see the whole cast walk into Denny's. I don't know what time it was.
It was lunchtime. It probably was a later lunch, I would think. It seemed like it was a later lunch, but bottom line is, yeah, can you imagine being the Denny's up there?
You know, I don't know, you know, but it seemed.
Which,
it
by seemed the way, that, I didn't even know Denny's was in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Apparently it's international. I didn't realize that. I thought it was kind of like a United States kind of a thing. Anyway.
We are so Canadianly challenged and we apologize to Canada.
We need to really love Canada.
I know. I do too.
A beautiful country. It's a wonderful country. It's got great people.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's just.
And Russia's from there.
Okay. All right.
So, but anyway, it must have been incredible being at Denny's, and all of a sudden you have the seven dwarves stroll in, and you've got Red, you've got Granny walking in, you know, for lunch.
Yeah.
That must have been something, you know.
That would have been pretty cool.
And, you know, the woman at the front, party of, you know, 12, 15, I don't know how.
Yeah, maybe more.
But the pictures were so fun.
They were really fun.
Really, really great. So I know the cast is listening. I know that the folks are listening out there.
Yeah.
And we want to say thank you so much for interacting with us as fans and sending out the pictures and everything. It's just really incredible. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We really appreciate it. And we don't take it for granted because we know that your time is precious and you're so busy. One of the pictures I saw, it was, I think, four of the dwarves sitting in their chair. Three of them were tweeting.
Yeah,
they all had their phones out. And it was just the most incredible thing. I said, the dwarves work in the mind and on the web. And, and I think that was the one that Gabe Kuth favorite it. So anyways, thought it was kind of funny.
That was cute. Tons of cute pictures that they showed. Looking at menus and being cute and throwing signs. I think that's one of the funniest things ever is you got these guys doing signs, like gang signs.
Right.
But they're like good gang signs.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just
happy
funny.
Dwarf signs.
Happy dwarf signs, yeah.
But it is, you know, it's great to be a once upon a time fan. It's great to be a oncer. Mm-hmm. There's so many just great. Hey, Tragic Rose, how are you?
Hello.
Welcome to the show. And nice to see you in the chat room. So it's just so much fun to see that, you know, and I think we really need to treat them obviously with respect and just really kind of enjoy this ride because things like this don't come around too much. So, you know, we really need to really appreciate it. So,
yep. And we do.
It is, it's just really neat. You know, even the makeup artist.
Yeah.
I follow her and it's really, it's just cool, to, you know, get that kind of access and say hi and all that. So
yeah,
it's pretty fun. So this is Holly's Mom. And it says, so a few days ago, I came upon a theory that the Blue Fairy was caring for Pinocchio, who is, or I believe, a child in Storybrooke. And that's a pretty valid theory, actually, because the school, I would think.
Well, and when the curse was invoked, he was still a kid because he was carving Monstro, the wooden Monstro in the war room when they were talking about it.
Well, I do like the idea, you know, and it's been kind of discussed other places before of kind of like, you know, in Back to the Future. You know, they did a few test runs first, you know, let me test it out first. So, you know, maybe putting Pinocchio in there for like the initial run. Well, let's not try it with the baby. Let's try it first with Pinocchio. You know, you'll come back, right? Won't you? maybe, sort of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. All right. So, it goes on. Mr. Gold also said he didn't care for nuns. Mm-hmm. Maybe this has something to do with the blue fairy being the nun we saw. And she signs off in my happy place.
Aww.
And this mixer keeps on. I need a happy place. So if you can suggest one, that's where I'd like to be. So anyhow, yeah, the whole idea with the nun and the fairy connection and Mr. Gold, and it's very, very interesting.
I have to admit, I loved Lee's reaction to Mr. Gold when he said, "You don't like nuns? Who doesn't like nuns?"
Yeah.
That was very, very funny, and he played that off very, very well. But yeah, the whole question of is, okay, so why doesn't Mr. Gold like nuns? Well, he doesn't like the nuns because he knows they're the fairies, because he knows who he is. He knows who everyone else is. So if he knows who all the other characters are, he has to know that sister or Mother Superior there was the blue fairy.
Now.
Right?
Right.
So then the question is, why doesn't he like them? What did they do to him?
Well, okay.
Or what do they prevent? Now, we have our theory about that.
I've heard it elsewhere.
Yeah.
That if he wanted the wand from the fairy godmother,
yes,
then perhaps that's kind of where it started. Is he
possibly
knew that the fairies kind of challenged his power from the knife, from the Zoso knife. Right.
True. True. Because that was the thing he did ask of James's father. Right.
Right. Right.
Where's the, all I want to know is where's the fairy godmother.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and he didn't even say fairy godmother. He said a certain fairy that is a patron of your family. Right.
Right.
That being the case, we can assume that, yeah, he wanted the wand, but did he want it for its power? Did he want it because he wanted to kind of control the situation with Cinderella, right? Because the fairy godmother was going to give her the same basic wish that he gave her. The difference is that he got something out of it. He was going to get something out of it.
Right.
Right? And it's very possible that the blue fairy, this is my theory, the blue fairy is the one who created the red quill pen that took away his power.
Right.
So and, that's where I think we're... Anyway.
And so, you know, but something may have happened before.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. That may cause
friction. And so
that may have just been the pinnacle of things.
So our good friend, the blue fairy, there's two favorite colors I have is blue and red. So we've already kind of discussed red. So now we're going to talk about blue. But the blue fairy may have had a fairy axe to grind. And so she was more than happy to say, okay, let's, I have this magic pen, and we can kind of fix up Rumpelstiltskin once and for all. So here you go. Go ahead and use it. Look forward to seeing you use it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. But yeah, I do want to say one more thing. I had a great interview with Barbara Barnett. Now, if the name doesn't sound familiar, she's a great fan of Once Upon a Time. And really a great kind of cheerleader for me in this podcast. And
great.
She set up a live tweet session with Jane Espenson not too long ago.
That's awesome.
And so I had a chance to interview Barbara today. It was really good. She had a great theory of which I've never heard before. So when we post that interview, just remember that we're going to be talking a great theory that she's got that I didn't even really consider. So that's coming up in the future. Now, I also believe that there was something special about someone in the chat room.
Okay.
And.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's somebody's birthday today.
Yes.
So we want to give a nice big happy birthday to Kat Slay.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kat.
You don't look a day over when you turned the last time. Or a year. Yeah. Help me out here.
You don't look a day over 21?
That's the
one. How about
that? Yeah. Perfect. Happy birthday. So everyone wish her a happy birthday, please. Great.
Happy birthday.
And Mason's in the chat room. Hey, Mason, what's happening? So yeah, I think that's all our thing. I keep forgetting what I should have said at the beginning, and I'm just kind of fitting him in here.
What?
I knew there was a birthday person.
Yes.
All right. So this email is from, strangely enough, Kat.
Oh, dun, 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 dun.
See, I don't believe in coincidences.
No, there are no coincidences.
You know, it just all kind of happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Hey, Jeff and Colleen. First, I want to say I really enjoy the show. I've been listening to past shows and hope to be caught up by the next live broadcast. And I've always said, if you listen from the beginning, there's some kind of
special gold
special
star for you.
Star for you. So anyway,
especially now,
I'm sending it
so
through magically via the Blue Fairy, and the Blue Fairy will bring you the special star. And Alira put it on her belly, and Colleen knew what that meant. I had no idea. I read the tweet because Alira caught an alluded thing I had in one of my tweets. She goes, I'm going to put the gold star on my belly. And Colleen yes. goes, I know what that means. And I go, what does that mean?
It's sneeches with stars. There is a story about sneeches.
Yep.
It's a Dr. Seuss story. It's one of my favorite stories about sneeches with stars and sneeches without stars. And the sneeches with stars were very elite and very snotty to the sneeches without stars. But then they eventually found a way to live in harmony, and it was wonderful.
Yep.
It's a great story.
And Princessa Dreamer is in the chat room, or at least she's listening. So, hey, hi. And again, Mom, if you're listening, thanks. Send a carrier pigeon or carrier dove or something.
Yes.
Let us know, because we want to make sure that you can hear.
She could very well be listening and not in the chat room, by the way.
You can send an old-fashioned email, Mom. It's okay. So anyway, okay, here we go. It says, Dreamy, wow, what a great episode. I know we were excited to see the episode dedicated to Team 7, as well as a tiny bit of emotional relief for Mary Margaret's character. I also enjoyed the introduction of Nova / Astrid, whose character is an absolute treasure. And of course, we're left in suspense as far as Catherine's disappearance is concerned. You know, and I've heard other folks that really don't like Astrid's character, or Astrid or Nova's character, but
really,
yeah. In these types of, you have to have all the different types of characters. You have to.
Yeah, you do.
So they hey, I'm a free bish is listening. Hey, hey. Welcome. That's what the name says.
I know, but I didn't realize you were reading off someone's name. I thought you were saying something else.
Represent the evil Regals, man. I gotta give a shout out. Okay. Hey, hey.
No, the way you said it just kind of like threw me for a loop. I was like, wait, what? And then I realized you were saying somebody's screen name.
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay.
We love everybody.
Sorry, you just we love startled it. Me.
We love Little Reds. We love Eagle Regals. We love everybody. Bring them on. Team 7, everybody.
Yes.
So,
yeah, we do.
But anyway, no, these types of ensemble cast, you have to have these certain types of characters.
Yeah, and, you do.
And what's nice is you have kind of an opposite where, you know, Leroy and even Dreamy is kind of a counterbalance to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Astrid is a little clumsy, you know. But,
she was.
Right.
She was. But then, you know what was really interesting? Okay, so you know how we've kind of said up to this point that for the most part, the characters in fairy tale world are the opposite in real world.
Right, right.
But what's interesting is that Nova was actually very much the same in both worlds. She was kind of clumsy, sweet, but kind of clumsy.
Right.
Because Grumpy had to, or Dreamy had to save her fairy dust bag from the fire. And
right.
She was clumsy in the real world and dropped fairy dust on him in the real world. So it's kind of interesting that she's kind of an exception to that.
And we have some folks in the chat room that really didn't like her character all that much. Mm. The one thing I'll say is if someone is clumsy or whatever, at some point they will change.
Right.
And they will be ahead of it, and they will correct whatever. And that's what's really kind of interesting. Yeah. So
I kind of liked her only because, I mean, look, let's face facts. We love the Blue Fairy, right? She's pretty awesome.
Yes, we do.
But I kind of liked her because she was kind of sweet and innocent, but she really meant well, but she just kind of like wasn't quite, she kind of almost reminded me a little bit of Maria from Sound of Music, which mm-hmm. is one of my favorite movies. If you know me at all, you would know that is one of my favorite movies of all time. I'm just saying. She just, you know, she wasn't meant to be a nun. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I see.
Well, and the interesting thing too is, In these types of fairy tale stories, there are kind of characters like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it happens.
That's true. That's very, very true.
So I will read on.
Okay. And
my computer is possessed now. It's making weird sounds.
Yeah, that's why I just keep looking over there.
Well, yeah. All right. So after this week's episode, I'm starting to wonder just who the curse affected and who it didn't. Obviously, yeah. We know it did not affect a handful of people. Regina, who enacted the curse. Rumpelstiltskin, who gave Regina the curse in the first place. Emma, who escaped. And Henry, who came from the outside world and is technically at this point, half fairy tale and half our world. However, after watching Dreamy, I wonder if maybe some beings were able to avoid being cursed to a certain degree. I know the theory of Belle knowing who she really has been floated around, thus the reason she's locked away. So I also wonder if the fairies know who they are. Astrid makes a point to Leroy, to tell Leroy, not Mary Margaret, who also helped sell the candles, early on that someone told her that you can do anything mm-hmm. as long as you can dream it. And that's, it's true, I remember that. That leads me to wonder, does Astrid/Nova actually remember Leroy/Grumpy? Otherwise, how would she remember such a specific statement? Not just anyone told her this. The love of her life told her this. Seems to reason if she didn't remember who she was, she wouldn't have remembered the quote. I totally agree.
Interesting. So does she? I wonder if she does remember.
You know what I mean? And maybe just saying if Rumpelstiltskin remembers his past life.
And Regina remembers hers.
Then I think.
Would the fairies remember theirs?
The fairies / nuns would also as well.
Now,
why? I don't know.
Well, here's why I would think. Because, okay, so fairies can fly, can they not?
Right.
So anything that could have flown would have flown ahead of the curse. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So maybe, possibly, to kind of go down that path, which I kind of like that theory. I think it's a really interesting theory, is that if, in fact, they know who they are, it's because they were able to kind of fly outside of the curse and manage to still get into the real world. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe they're sent there as kind of like protectors of sorts.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Well,
maybe that's why he doesn't like them so much, because they do know who they are, maybe.
For sure, we did see a dragon flying
out
ahead of the curse, which I'm fairly certain is Maleficent. Fairly certain. And also, we saw a flock of birds. Now, look, I'm going way out on a limb here. Maybe there were some fairies in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Because
if we're talking about flying...
They've got fairy dust. They fly. Yeah. So maybe somehow they managed to escape the curse, but managed to still get themselves into real world so that they could be the protectors and prepare things. Because when the battle comes, they're going to need to be there, right?
Right.
So maybe they do. Maybe that's the thing. They were curse adjacent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a fascinating theory. I really like it.
And, you know, based on the other theory that we were talking about here, if the nuns/fairies mm-hmm. are protectors, I mean, we already know that the fairy godmother was a patron of the King George's family. And actually, the Nova was What did she say? She was a patron saint of fairy dust?
Nova said that?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain.
Maybe she did. I don't recall her saying that, but I was so focused on the fact that just the looks between her and Leroy, or Dreamy. I almost said Dwarvy.
Wow. I'm losing it. There was a great post.
Because I'm so verklempt over the dwarves. I love them.
I know.
They're awesome.
There was a great post on the blog this week from the deputies about all the original names of the dwarves. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. They had some crazy names. Walt, and I'm saying Walt Disney Burpee. And his Walt Disney, his group of animators had some really, because the dwarves weren't named in the story itself.
Yeah.
But Walt gave them the funny names, and there were some really crazy names. I think one of them was Slappy or something like that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Just, yeah. Anyway.
I agree. I'm a free bish says they need to get Maleficent back on the show. I totally agree. And that's one of those things I keep watching, you know, for some big someone to burst in on the scene. I go, aha, it's Maleficent. She's back. You know, she's got more fun up her sleeve. You can't have a throwdown like Evil Queen and her had.
Oh,
throwing
dude.
Swords and all this.
A threatening
wrapping
pet.
Her up with it. Oh my gosh. That was great.
That was crazy.
One of my favorite moments of all.
That was a crazy scene. That was pretty
love
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll continue to read. Maybe the fairies
looks
magic.
Looks like Blondie for Keeps can't hear us anymore. I don't know why. So I'm hoping she may have to log out and log back in. And she can't hear us, but maybe somebody can maybe suggest that to her. That's my only thinking.
Well, it's a tough night. It's a tough night. Hang in there. Hang in there. We're almost through. Creepy the Dwarf. Creepy. Liz. Creepy the Dwarf. No.
That probably was one of the original names. I wouldn't be surprised. They had some crazy names. I can't remember them off the top of my head right now, but there were some crazy names, so I'm glad with the ones we got.
That's true. I'm a free bitch says Maleficent needs to cause trouble with her girl, Regina.
Yeah, she does.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the fairy's magic prevented them somehow from being placed under the mental control of the curse.
Yeah.
But was not strong enough to keep them from physically being trapped in Storybrooke.
Nice.
Well, and plus the
that
whole thing of flying.
Exactly.
I think you can get out.
Well, because
without using a
because
road.
Technically they're part of the kingdom, and if, as we've said before, the kingdom itself or Storybrooke is kind of like a layer on top of, you know what I mean?
Right.
We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. If in fact Storybrooke is a layer on top of the fairy tale world, then they would still be kind of sort of physically, like she said, trapped in there, but their mental, because they were able to fly, kept them from being impacted by the curse.
Well,
memories and stuff.
Yeah. Here's a big question is I think we all kind of get stuck on, I do too, that the edge of Storybrooke is where the cars keep running off the road.
Yeah, it is a really funny spot.
And I am kind of sliding this out on the table is maybe there is more to the area than just Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it reminds me of the hatch in Lost and how the hatch had that electromagnetic field.
Right.
That's what caused the plane to crash, blah, blah, blah. So that's where I think that they've gone with that whole, there is some supernatural or some piece to that property that's tied to the fairy tale world extremely strongly. That's what I think.
It was odd. We saw an episode of Haven. I don't know if anyone has ever seen Haven.
That was a really good episode too.
It was a sci-fi Doctor Who-ish kind of a show.
That was also kind of Once Upon a Time-ish.
Right. It was about a small town in Maine. This show is actually filmed on the East Coast of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And but the one episode we saw was Christmas time, but it was summer. And people, they kept seeing all these Christmas
decorations
and all. And they realized that there was like an edge to the town and they couldn't go any further.
Yep.
It was kind of, and it was like glass. And what it was the town was morphing into this.
Into the snow globes.
A snow globe
mm-hmm.
of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And so You know, when you watch Once Upon a Time for a while and you watch a show like that and you go, they can't get, I said, maybe there's a snow globe over Storybrooke.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite a snow globe, but yeah. I do think there's some paranormal activity there that ties it to the fairy tale world. That's what I think.
Yep. So I will continue.
Okay, wait.
Okay.
Okay. People are saying the sound keeps coming and going. I don't know what's causing it, but it's going out and then it comes back in. So hopefully bear with us. Hopefully you can hear us.
Wow. It's tough. Sorry, guys. I don't know. I don't know what to say. So anyhow, also the Mother Superior. And I'm sorry. The Mother Superior, I always go back to the Flying Nun. The Mother Superior had the hat with the big thing. You know what I mean? She looked really different. And that's why I didn't want to call. Look, I'm trying to be careful because I don't know all of the Catholic things. And I didn't want to call her Mother Superior if she wasn't.
Yeah,
but I knew she was in charge.
Yeah,
but
she's supposed to be Mother Superior.
So.
But what's interesting, for those that don't know, because we have a lot of listeners who are adorable youngsters who don't probably know who the Flying Nun is.
I wasn't going to – I thought about that, but I didn't.
I'm going to bring it up because some of us are remember it. It was in the 60s. It was Sally Field. She played a nun who was so tiny and so delicate that her habit – she was so large that she had the ability to fly. And if there was a strong enough wind, she would get carried away. It was really cute. It was a cute series. But anyway.
Yeah.
Google
Sally Field is in was it Brothers and Sisters?
Yeah, she's on Brothers and Sisters.
And but she did a lot of movies before then. Some with some called Smokey and the Bandit, one of them.
That was way back before a lot of these people were born. But the ones they'd probably remember would be like Mrs. Doubtfire and –
yeah.
Still Magnolias for folks who have gone retro in the 80s and stuff.
Yep. All right. Mother Superior reminds Astrid at the beginning of the episode, you know how he, Mr. Gold, feels about us. Mm-hmm. Even Leroy asks a question, she pointed out, who doesn't like nuns? And apparently at one time, Rumpelstiltskin and the fairies were at odds for whatever reason, and he still carries a grudge. And I think perfect point here, and I think that grudge turned into the quill. So we still need to kind of figure out what happened. Is it possible that they have been frightened into secrecy? It's also interesting that the fairies became nuns in Storybrooke. They're as equally closed off from the outside world in Storybrooke as they were in the fantasy world. It's a great point.
Very, very good point.
I just can't help but feel Astrid seems to know more than she lets on. Perhaps if the theory surrounding Belle being locked away because she knew who she was is correct, the fairies would have good reason for keeping mum about their own memories for fear of a similar or worse fate. It's just a theory, and I could be wrong. Couldn't we all? I've been wrong plenty of times. But it's fun to kind of go
theory.
With it, though.
It is a great theory.
I'm curious to see anyone else's thoughts on the subject. Also, the moment where Granny relights Mary Margaret's candle moved me to tears. It is such a beautiful and simple yet powerful moment, and both actresses executed it flawlessly. Thanks, and looking forward to this week's show, Kate Slay.
Cat,
thank you so much.
Cat.
Sorry.
And yes,
reading isn't fundamental for me.
I did love that scene too. I thought that was an amazing scene because no dialogue was necessary, but you knew exactly what was being said between Granny and Mary Margaret and even the people surrounding her. So, I mean, it's just, again, it's a testament to the amazing cast who they said at the Paley, they handpicked everybody for their roles and they did a great job in doing so. And it, like I said, just it was an amazing moment. I agree. I totally agree.
Yep. So we have one more email.
Oh, really?
And now my computer's still making weird sounds. Thank goodness. I think Papa's going to get a new computer.
Papa's getting a new computer.
Thank you, Jesus. So, and I think Mama's going to get a laptop.
Mama's getting a laptop.
That's the way that's going.
Yep.
So here we go. Our last email from Tessa.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Tess. Okay.
Okay.
Tess is cool. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Thanks for all the behind the scenes action at Paley Fest. You know what? That was so much fun.
It was.
I got to tell you. And
it was pretty surreal to be in the same room with these people. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did have an opportunity to watch some interviews on YouTube with Robert Carlyle for his he's an ambassador for his charity With Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really neat to watch the interview with him and just talking about how he grew up. And he still lives in Glasgow. And he's still connected, you know, and he cares. And it's really neat to see that and kind of, you know, just see somebody who's really so talented really talk about a place that he really cares about. So,
yes.
But it was neat to be there. It was neat to see everyone. And I tell you what, next time we're sitting down on that floor. Because the mic, I wanted to run up to the edge and say, throw the mic up here, will you? I got a question about the color of smoke.
Yeah.
Color of smoke. It's a good thing I wasn't sitting on the edge over there. Because I'd have been yelling down there.
I would have just asked Robert Carlyle to just read the phone book.
Yeah.
Because I cannot get enough of his accent. I think it is just wonderful.
It was. It's nice. There are a couple of interviews with him. And one of the funnier ones was he was on Craig Ferguson.
Oh, and
they're both from
Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay. How did I miss that?
Yeah.
Was this recent?
No, it's 2009. Oh, it was when
he was doing Stargate. Because
he was doing Stargate. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I'm gonna have to find that now.
So, so it was fun. Craig Ferguson's pretty funny. So, anyway, we will read the last email here. So, I have two thoughts about last night's episode. First is, yay, the blue fairy isn't dead.
Yay.
You can say that again. Yay.
That's true.
Because we see her in Storybrooke as Mother Superior, which makes me wonder about the scene where Rumpel seemingly destroys her in Price of Gold. Apparently, he didn't destroy her completely. Well, I think Rumpel destroyed the fairy godmother.
Yes.
The blue fairy... I wasn't there.
Yeah, she was in a different scene. The fairy that was destroyed was African American, and mm-hmm. she was a beautiful woman.
Oh yeah,
and she had on a goldish, orangey colored dress, a gorgeous dress too. And I'm pretty sure that was a different fairy.
Okay, I think the blue fairy, when all that was going down, was watching Nova, just making sure that she had everything okay with the fairy dust.
Unless we're forgetting something?
I don't think so.
Anyway, carry on.
Okay. All right. So my guess is that he took her wings, like how Nova would lose her wings if she ran out with Dreamy. The blue fairy, Mother Superior, seems to care a lot about being in control. She doesn't want Nova to stray from the life of a fairy, and as Mother Superior, she is very critical of Astrid. I wonder what her happy ending will be.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Because fairies typically, do they have, like, dreams and hopes other than being fairy godmothers? Do they have, you know, wishes and things like that? We know Nova does because she wants to be with the Grumpy.
Yeah.
So,
Wow.
That is interesting. I would like to see the Blue Fairy's backstory, frankly. How'd she get to be a Blue Fairy?
Yeah.
How'd she get to be kind of the teacher? Because she said she was Nova's teacher.
Sorry, guys. Wow, the sound keeps cutting in and out. So,
are you kidding me?
We may have to go with something like Ustream.
Ugh.
And do...
Well, you know what?
And just kind of... not do the video portion, but use it for the audio and the chat.
When we get the new computer, we'll see how it works.
Well, and then, but they're experiencing on their side though.
Oh, it's, I guess that's true.
I think it's Mixler and their fun little changes.
Yeah.
Does Zuckerberg work for Mixler?
No.
I'm sorry to be harsh, but this is kind of Not good.
No, it's not.
Okay, so we're going to end up the email here. So my second thought has to do with the tall man we see eating a carrot in the door-to-door scene. He is credited as the skinny man, while the lady next to him is credited as rotund wife. I wonder if this is a nod to the nursery rhyme, Jack Sprat. Jack Sprat could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. And so between them both, you see, they lick the platter clean. I don't think they will expound on this line of thinking. Rather, I agree it's probably the white rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. There are two groups of thought that it is Jack Sprat or it is the rabbit. So could be either of the two. As always, I love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, Tess. So, yeah, it was great, great stuff about the fairy and the Mother Superior. You know, I think the Mother Superior maybe falling in love as well might be interesting. So,
yeah, you never know. Who would she fall in love with?
That's a good point. It would have to be someone that you would never expect.
Well, Rumble would be the last one I would expect, but I don't think it's him.
Right.
So,
That's a good point.
Maybe it's Archie.
Well, possibly.
Maybe it's Archie.
I'm a freebish. He's just batting 1,000 tonight. These are great. Dwarves are born from eggs, and fairies are born from what?
Oh.
Fairy dust? That's a good question.
Oh, wow. Interesting. See, that's why we'd like to see the backstory. Maybe they'll tell us. Maybe fairies are born from stars. If you ever saw the movie Stardust, it would make sense.
Right. Well, yeah, I still think it was interesting the comment that Dreamy made that who was that lady I saw right before I was hatched. So somehow he saw
a vision of her
Nova before he was hatched.
Yeah.
And so
maybe the fairy dust because it's so connected with her because it was pink.
Well, it could
be. Do you know what I mean?
Could be. But yeah, so.
And what is the blue fairy's name? She must have a first name, right? If Nova's got a name, why doesn't she have one? Because Nova even referred to her as the blue fairy.
Right.
So I would like to know what's her name.
I do not know. That's very, very, very.
We know her name is Keegalicious, but.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. And she's great. And
she is. You know,
the cast is really a lot of fun. And so it's really cool that they interact so much.
Yes. So. She'll have a really pretty name.
I know.
I'm sure.
Okay. You know, beauty in Latin or something. I don't know. I don't know how you would say beauty in Latin. I don't know Latin.
I didn't take Latin, and I
have trouble with English.
Off the top of my head.
I don't need to worry about Latin. So anyhow, thanks so much, everybody, for showing up. We sent big love out to you.
Yes. And apologies for the dropping in and out on Mixler,
oh, my
apparently.
Gosh, and the whole chat stuff and everything. Sorry. So much. So, but thank you so much for showing up and spending your evening with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Take care of yourselves and be good to each other. And we will be back tomorrow with First Thoughts. And we'll
tomorrow's
just,
Little Reds.
Little Red.
Yay.
Little Red boy. So again, big thanks to Megan Ori for the wonderful voicemail.
Yes.
We really appreciate that.
Yes.
You know,
and to Faustino's on Thursday.
Oh yeah, Faustino. Thanks so much.
He
man.
Left one on Thursday. That was awesome.
And this is just it's so much fun, you know, being a part of this and being a fan like everyone it's in the chat room, you know. So, anyway, thanks so much, and we will talk again soon. Like tomorrow, we'll be talking at you. So, take care, guys.
Have a good one, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.